Welcome to Camp Creepyhead Saturday Morning Monster Mash! Blah!
This episode's brought to you by Global Milk! Global Milk! Global Milk! This episode's brought to you by Global Milk! It's the best fucking cricket! Yeah, we don't like the new format either. We'll go back. Global Milk. A subsidiary of Red Pavilion Productions!
Welcome, everybody, to Kind of Creepyhead Saturday Morning Monster Mash, episode 115. Josh isn't here right now.
Blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Josh Balls, Josh.
115 Josh Balls. Blah.
Blah. Anus. Blah. little peek behind the curtain. Josh is house hunting. His previous house that he thought was the perfect home turned out to be on an ancient Indian burial ground.
Yep.
Not the best place for a house, unfortunately.
If horror movies have taught us anything, that is not where you want to live.
No. You know, if there's a cemetery in your yard, don't live there.
Yeah.
It's real fucking simple. You know, I know it's a great price, but maybe Dr. Freudstein lives in the basement and he's going to murder your kids. Just saying.
Fucking movie.
I love that movie. Mike, your party was awesome as always.
Woohoo! lots of fun.
Yeah, it hit me towards the end before I left. I don't know how late your party goes.
I think everyone was gone by about 1:30.
Oh, okay. I mean, like a bunch of us checked out at about 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right before I left, I was in the kitchen and I was talking to Sam and Matt and my new friend Hunter Valentine, mm-hmm. which is that his real name?
Yeah.
That's the most badass fucking name ever. That's like anime villain name. You know what I mean? Like I don't know how to describe it. Like it belongs in a Final Fantasy game. Really cool. But we were like just shooting the shit and something came up and I was like, you can't say that because I will go fucking crazy and nerd the hell out. And Matt was like, trust him, he will. And then I realized that, like how fucking weird I am. And I don't realize it. But then I was like, wait a second. Everybody in this house is fucking weird.
Yep.
And I can just be comfortable being really fucking weird. Nobody cares because everybody's really fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. The cats are weird. Everybody.
That's what it's like at the Alvarez house.
Yeah. So I kind of just like, I got the hair out of my ass and I was like a thumb or whatever it is. It's up your ass. Stick. The stick.
The thumb up your ass. That sounds like a fun time.
Like, what's the analogy? Thumb, finger, plug. Oh, stick, right. Like, some Freudian slips about things up my ass.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was a good time. And gift bags are awesome. Zoe loves all the stuff, the lightsaber in particular.
I fully expected lightsaber fights to break out. There was only like a slight one in the beginning.
Well, I don't want to break anything in your house.
They were inflatable lightsabers.
Well, I mean, like just bopping into things. That was my immediate thought, was like, oh my God. But then I was like, over here is something that could fall. Something's going to fall over here. I could kill the fish tank. Maybe not. What the fuck was I going to say? Yeah, it was just a great time. I wish there was more to do in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
I went to the outlet mall because I was like, I haven't been there in a year. Maybe there's something I could like do to kill time. No, that place sucks.
Yes, it does.
I ended up just going to Five Guys, which I, you know, there's a lot of like online chatter about how expensive Five Guys has gotten.
Mm-hmm.
It's no joke.
Oh, it sucked. No, it's pricey as hell. But I got to say, like, we had, was it Rock Burger the other day?
Yeah.
And for the amount I paid and for what we got, it was ridiculous. Like, I don't understand why everyone loves these guys so much. Because, like, first of all, nothing was done right. They had like an au jus burger, and yeah. The whole reason I got it was because, like, oh, it's like a, you know, French dip. I'll get that. I prefaced that I wanted it, you know, medium rare, and they cooked this thing into a charcoal briquette. So it was just like, I mean, snap in half dry, but somehow still greasy, which blew my mind. They left the au jus off completely. The onion rings that we ordered basically felt like they had been sitting in a pool of oil because they were just dripping. Like, I couldn't even eat them. They were fucking disgusting. And every meal that we got was like $15. So it's like, well, wait a second. So we're paying, and like the burger Caleb got was like, it was the size of like a White Castle burger. And that was like their normal burger. Like, so basically you're charging $8 for a slider. Like, what the fuck? But yet, you know, Five Guys, we at least like what we get and we're full. And so I'm like, I'd rather pay that than pay the same amount and get shit.
I don't know. It cost me $22 for a hamburger, small fries, and a drink.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the fuck? This is, wow.
Although, depending on the day, it might cost you the same at Wendy's. if they go through with their flex pricing.
At least with Wendy's. I'm not going back to Wendy's at that prices. And if they fuck with the Happy Meals when they have cool prices, it's going to be a big problem for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because Wendy's is expensive as it is. Now they want to have fucking flex pricing for their shit food? No way.
Exactly.
The reason I got Five Guys is because I was like, I'll go get a breakfast at like Bob Evans or Cracker Barrel. But I was afraid if I had a huge heavy meal, I'd have to take a dump. And I don't want to blow up the toilet at your house. So I was like, yeah, meat. That'll sit fine. But yeah. Josh has had house problems. I'm just going to let him tell it if he wants. If not, you can just assume that there's poltergeists or zombies or toxic waste or crackheads. Take your pick. He didn't get the house that he wanted, and they're looking at more houses. So I also alphabetized all my DVDs, which took a week and a half. And
I can imagine.
Never again. It's such a thankless fucking job, especially when, like, you think you've completed a whole set of letters. Like, S is done, which was I had the most of the letter S. Mm-hmm. And then you find, like, one you missed. So then you have to shift every single row to slide that one in.
Yep.
You're like, ah, fuck, scanners, great. And, you know, it sucks. It's just a fucking headache.
Every time I've ever alphabetized my DVDs, I've had that happen. Where it's just, you think you're done, and then you're like several letters later, and you find one that you missed. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, you gotta go through and shift everything over. It sucks so bad.
Yeah, and like, and I'm doing it, and I'm like, do I want to just put all these in sleeves and throw all the cases out and save tons of space? And then I was like, no.
Yeah, that's too tough to do.
Because it doesn't look as cool. I don't get to have that fantasy that I'm climbing like 8 stories in a ladder to find, take your pick.
Right.
This is the point where I always make an obscure movie reference, and it's always fucking Ghoulies. I'm gonna say Screamers, starring Peter Weller.
Oh God, I haven't thought of that in forever.
That movie's awesome.
That actually is really good.
Rush Week, the slasher movie nobody cares about from Canada. Hello, Mary Lou, Prime Night 3. yeah, you know, like that kind of stuff. For that, like, it's never gonna happen in my life. If somebody comes over to my house and just out of the blue, like, oh man, I wish I could watch Toxic Zombies. I'm like, what? And I run downstairs and find a copy, and then I fucking change their life. And they decide that they want to keep living. No, that's never going to happen. This is just for me. You know, there's not going to be some sort of strange, mysterious illness that only obscure horror movies can fix. Unfortunately, nobody's going to be like, oh man, the cure for COVID's Phantasm 3. Yes. Finally.
Damn. If it was, I wouldn't have gotten COVID twice.
I know. I'd be immune.
Seriously, the amount of times I watch Phantasm, Jesus.
Phantasm is a great movie, even part three.
I love the whole franchise, honestly. I know a lot of people hate part five, but I really like
it. I get it. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it makes sense, but like, don't tell me that the last four movies didn't count, maybe.
But that's not what they did.
No,
that's...
I know.
It showed you that the tall man was still manipulating his reality.
But we can't have more because Scrim is dead.
Right.
And I really, you know.
But I like the way, because it opened it up where it's like they were all still fighting against the evil. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's fun.
It was fun. But that's the other thing is Phantasm never ends.
Right.
And it also did end with somebody getting pulled out a window.
But I also like the fact that the first one kind of like ends in the, like begins and ends in the idea of, is it a dream? Is it real? Yeah. And the last movie ends and begins and ends with, is this reality? Is this what Reggie is actually experiencing, or is it his dream?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought it was fun.
Is this real life? Is it just fantasy?
Is this real life?
Per every single episode, I love to share shenanigans from my batshit crazy daughter. Would you like to guess what she's doing now, Mike?
I'm going to guess something involving slime or Play-Doh.
Kind of. So she's, for the last few months, her obsession has been Baby Alive dolls.
Okay.
So, do you remember the point in your life where, like, your imagination exploded?
Like, exploded as in now I can do whatever I want, or exploded as in I can't think of anything fun anymore?
No, like, play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
You know, like, you played with toys as a kid, but then all of a sudden you hit a certain point and you're like, I'm going to have these epic adventures with my toys.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I was about 7 or 8. I think where my mind was really like the mushroom cloud went off and I was just like, I've got these G.I. Joes and Star Wars and Ninja Turtles and I'm going to go fucking crazy. And it was like a nice 10 years of time where I got to like really enjoy them. Mm-hmm. So she's doing this with her Baby Alive dolls and they have names and personalities and they go on adventures and she feeds them Play-Doh. She gives them baths and slime. But what she's liked to do recently is scare the fuck out of anybody that's over the house to test their parenting skills. So say I'm in my basement. I have a finished basement. There's like carpeted stairs that go into the basement. I'm minding my own business. I'm doing the laundry, whatever. Out of nowhere, a baby doll will fly down the fucking stairs. And then Zoe will be at the top of the stairs screaming bloody murder. And she'll be like, ah, you let the baby die. Which is like, what the fuck are you doing? Why did you do that? Because she's like, you needed to watch the baby and you weren't paying attention and the baby died. So she'll just be like, once you're constantly on your toes, she'll just throw a doll at you. Like, think fast! And like, they're all like nicknames. So it's like Michaela, McCrawla, McKenzie. And they're hard plastic and they're full of chunky Play-Doh dry pieces. And she'll just throw them at your face, throw them down the stairs, leave them laying out, and she'll hide behind something and make crying sounds. You have to stop what you're doing and make sure that the baby's okay, or she'll scold you that you let the baby die.
That is both terrifying and hilarious.
It is, but it's just like, what the fuck, kid?
Like, I think I'd freak out if I was down in a basement and suddenly a baby doll flew down the stairs.
Yeah, it's... And with the amount of horror movies I've seen, every time she does it, I'm like, it's alive. And I think it's alive, baby.
It's the Davies baby coming.
It is. You know? It's like, I freak out. And it's not. It's just, it's Snack and Play Michaela, who may or may not be like wet with slime like KY jelly.
Oh, God.
Which is even worse.
Because then you're like, what is this?
Yeah, because you try to catch it and then it's like a fucking wet fetus that you're trying to keep alive and it's And you haven't lived if you've had a hard plastic baby smash into your face. Fucking sucks.
Oh, God. That reminds me when Caleb was real little, he had this, like, elf toy. I don't know. I think it was my grandmother got it for him. But it was around Christmas time, and it was, like, one of those, like, bean-filled toys you kind of, like, sit on a shelf. Like, their butt has beans in it. Yeah. And, it, like, so they're, like, they're not hefty, but they have that one part that has a little bit of weight to it. But then he's got the long legs that would dangle over the shelf. Well, he had a plastic face. So it wasn't like a full plastic head, but he had a plastic face and a bean booty. And Caleb would grab this thing by its legs and just start whipping it around, like swinging around like a fucking bolo. And the one day I was almost asleep on the couch. I was just starting to fall asleep and he's swinging this thing around. And I just got fucking bashed in the nose with this thing's face. It hurt so damn bad. And he thought it was the funniest thing because I just, like, rolled off the couch screaming. And he's, like, two. So, you know, it was hilarious to him. But I'll never forget the feeling of that thing crashing into my face. That hurt like a bitch.
You know, and our parents had a lot easier. And, like, I don't think you and Jess are huge on, like, all the traditions for the holidays, or Caleb's too old for it now.
Mm-hmm.
But Elf on a Shelf, Leprechaun Traps, Valentine's Day, everything involves some sort of, like, wait till the kids in bed, and then you got to do a tradition.
Yep.
So yesterday was the fucking Leprechaun Traps for the fucking leprechauns, and it's like, she made this elaborate trap that, of course, because it's Zoe, involved slime, water, broken glass, just, you know, like, insanely dangerous stuff because she gets obsessed and overcreative. And I got tasked with, like, okay, I'm going to bed. You have to stay up late and figure out what the fuck we're going to do about this leprechaun. Like, maybe leave little green footprints. Or, and I got this notion that I remembered I have in an old shoebox, this Lollipop Guild Barbie Munchkin toy that looks like a leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
Went and got it, and I threw it in the leprechaun trap. And then Zoe thought it was a real fucking leprechaun and spent the whole day trying to get the thing to grant her wishes. And she was like, I really wish I had $1 million. Like, she kind of knows it's bullshit, but she's still not 100% sure it's bullshit. Right. And then I get put on the spots, like, if I don't grant these wishes when she's not looking, I'm ruining her childhood.
Oh, no. It's like,
none of this shit would happen if some cocksucker at Hallmark didn't invent these fucking dumb holiday things. Like leprechaun traps and Elf on a Shelf, which is 25 days of bullshit for a fucking stuffed animal. Fuck you. Fucking fuck. I hate that shit so much.
See, I am so happy. Like, we didn't do the Elf on the Shelf. And the leprechaun trap, that's actually the first time I'm hearing about this. Like, we didn't do any of that. Really the only thing that I put any effort as far as, like, the sneaking around and, like, hiding things was, and I think I told this story on the show before, was when Caleb got into BotBots, and I convinced him that they were real and they were actually, like, living robots that were coming to our house to live because we had so many toys. Mm-hmm. And I was hiding them around the house. So I would order them on Amazon, and then I would just, like, transform them into, like, whatever their, you know, alt mode was, and would hide them all over the house. So all throughout December that year, he was finding them in different parts of the house and getting super excited, you know, thing. And, like, he had, like, this whole little collection of them. But then, unfortunately, he found one of the packages mixed in with the recycling. And I was like, ah, like, he pulled some of the boxes out to, like, make a little box for it. And he saw the package. So he knew I was full of malarkey.
Yeah.
And he called me out on it.
For as insane and evil as Zoe is, the magic is still real. So, let me check my notes. What kind of plugs you got? You got anything coming out for Raised by Rentals, Boogeyman's Closet?
Nothing at the moment. Boogeyman's Closet, we are about to record the final episode before our break. That should actually come out probably the same week this does, like later this week.
Yep.
So that'll be the Texas Chainsaw 2022, which I'm very excited to talk about, because watching it critically, man, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I really fucking like it watching it critically. I pulled so much out of that movie that I'm like, damn, I did not give this a fair shake when it first came out. So I can't wait to talk about it on the show. But and as far as Raised by Rentals goes, like, I'm not 100% sure what our next topic is going to be. We've kind of had a few different topics shifting around based on how much time we have to prep. And I know both Strasburg and I have had like some crazy busy weeks leading up to our next recording. So it'll probably be one of our easier topics. Like, we've been talking about doing a rental rant. We've had one in the chamber for a while, but we just haven't done it because we've had other shows we wanted to do. So probably be that, but don't quote me on it. I'm not 100%.
One in the chamber. well, I'll tell you what, Strasburg, because I owe you so much. I have one in the chamber for you that I'm going to spit out here right now. You guys go ahead and make it a rental rat.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Go for it.
Just because you don't like something doesn't mean you have to go online and shit all over it. It's okay. It's not for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
I get that you feel like you have ownership of this nerdy thing. Let it go.
We kind of did that. We did a gatekeeping rental rant.
Yeah.
Where we chat all over people like that.
I'm specifically referring to the Crow sequel. Reboot, whatever. You know what?
Yeah.
You watch it, you're going to get pissed. But guess what? That world you think the Crow exists in, that 90s alternative grunge world, is gone.
Here's
it doesn't exist.
my beef in general with all of this, but specifically with the Crow, like people who are bitching about it. Like, number one, the movie didn't exist. So you didn't want another Crow movie, and the movie didn't exist. So you were fine with that. Now the movie exists, but you still don't want a Crow movie. You can continue to pretend it doesn't exist and just not watch it. Like, it doesn't take away anything that you've enjoyed about the Crow and its wonderful sequels. You know,
yeah,
like it doesn't take shit away. But here's my other thing. If you're a fan of the Crow, then you're fine with new people becoming the Crow, because that is the fucking story of the Crow.
Yes.
Once the vengeance is done, someone else becomes the Crow. So it's like, I didn't understand it when people bitched about the Crow City of Angels, when they're like, it's not Brandon Lee. I'm like, it wouldn't have been even if he lived. Like, Eric Draven was done. His story was over. So I've never understood that complaint, but particularly with the Crow movies.
Yeah, just let it go and understand that there's fans out there that want to see the Skarsgård kid with no shirt on.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think he's a fantastic choice for the Crow. I love Skarsgård.
Yeah, I don't like his eyeball nipple tattoo.
See, I feel that fits James O'Barr's aesthetic perfectly. Yeah.
I mean, I
really do.
I watched the trailer and I was just like, eh, not for me. Now, if a bunch of people tell me that it's really fucking good, I'll go see it. If not, it'll be streaming at some point. I'll watch it.
I'll be honest. I had the exact opposite reaction. I watched it and went, this is kind of exactly what I was expecting this Crow to be, and I'm here for it. I think I might enjoy this. Like, because I went into it with the expectations that the trailer delivered. That's exactly what I thought of when I saw the first stills. I'm like, oh, I can see how this movie's going to play out. And yeah. I think it's going to be fun.
You know, so you and Strasburg, go ahead.
Oh, we can rant about that for a while, I'm sure.
You need a goofy idea? Killer baby doll movie. Yeah, that's never happened before.
You did just kind of give me an idea talking about a killer baby doll. I'll have to talk to Strasburg about this. I have a concept now.
Dolls 2, the sequel that should have happened.
Dolls 2, Dolls Harder. Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you guys remake Puppet Master?
Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
That would be fun.
Yeah, anyways. This is where Josh would chime in and say balls.
Blah, balls.
If you need cool things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre action figures from the remake, visit Jerry's Closet. Look them up online. Look for Western New York Horror Crew. She has got an almost complete set up for sale, and they are super cheap. We've got So It's Come to This, a Simpsons Family Podcast, Mike, some of your best friends, and Simpsons experts. Great, great podcast, if you ask me. Coffin Dreams LLC. This is Tara Marie Miss Gubadich. Is she Irish or is she just short?
She's just short.
Okay. Yeah, our resident Red Pantheon Leprechaun.
I think there might be some Irish in there. I know there's Italian. I know that because I know that side of the family.
Yeah, but check her stuff out. She's a very talented artist. I know she does commissions. She's got all of her clothing, all of her artwork, and her lovely manservant Mike McCoy, who's got great special effects.
Indeed.
And if you don't want to buy anything, follow them on the socials just to, you know, check out their artwork. I know Mike's always doing awesome sculpting for the Gates Screen Park and shit like that. So I think it's awesome what they both do. And I love checking out their stuff. Who am I forgetting? Oh, yes. Josh has a new Pikmin's drop. He'll probably come on at some point when he gets home to plug his shit. But he's got the new Gashapon drops of the Spiderhead, the Critter, and the Popcorn Killer Clown. Mm-hmm. He's going to have blind box critters in random colorways, which are really cool. And he's got the not Illuminators, the Illuminators. I don't know what the fuck they're called.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if he has a specific name for the Illuminator nods.
He's got a slight change in the name, so nobody's getting pissed off and suing things, but Illuminators inspired Wolfman in clear plastic that looks super fucking cool.
He really does.
Those will be dropping on Friday on the shop. Pikmin's vinyls. Check them out. It's worth your time. So, Mike, I have an incomplete game that we're going to play because I got tied up and didn't get to do all the questions, but I still think we'll have fun with it.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the game. You're really not playing against anybody because Josh isn't here, but this is more for the sake of discussion. I went online and I pulled 100 people on Reddit. Okay. What's worse? Okay. I gave them a choice between A and B, and they told me this is worse. Okay. You have to guess what the world at large thought. Are you ready?
I'm a little scared, but yes.
They're not as fucked up as I didn't have time to make them fucked up. I was in the wrong headspace. Feeling all like PC and shit, unfortunately. So here we go. Ready?
Yep.
What's worse? Dry skin on your finger and you touch a microfiber cloth. Or
fuck.
Touching your eyes while you're eating potato chips.
I'm going to go microfiber cloth because that freaks me the hell out every time it happens.
You've never had like Cheetos and then you're like, ah, my eye itches. And you rub your eyes and you get like Cheeto eyes.
I can't say that I've ever put like Cheeto dust in my eyes. No, like, cause I'll usually, if I have something on my hands, I think it's from years of painting and sculpting. I'll use like the back of my wrist to rub my eye.
I've done Chex Mix and I've done, hot wings, like buffalo wings. And I've got it in my eyes and it was hell.
See, now I've done the thing where you're chopping jalapenos or habaneros and you think your hands are safe, like you clean them off and whatever, and then like an hour later you rub your eye and your eye is on fire.
Yeah, but you were right. People really hate that fucking microfiber.
Oh, it feels so weird.
I always thought it was just me until it came up online and I was like, I'm not alone.
Nope.
Like, holy fucking shit. This is crazy. All right, here's the next one. What's worse? The witch's kiss. Do you know what the witch's kiss is?
No.
When you sit down on the toilet and your balls touch the water.
Okay. All right.
Or a shart trusting a fart. And you shit yourself.
I'm going to go with shart just because I don't ever want to shit myself. That is never good. Nobody wants. I mean, your balls touching toilet water is horrifying, but you can take a shower later. Like walking around with shitty pants is just
you've never been to a concert and like had to take a dump in a porta john and got the witch's kiss and it's like 1,000 dumps.
No, surprisingly, I feel like my body is just it goes into terror mode when I'm like in public. It's like you're not pooping until you get home.
I'd rather shit my pants than use a porta john to take a crap.
Yeah.
Whoever invented those, they're just disgusting. Like, God, why?
Just sitting in a hot room that smells of feces and urine.
Like, was that what it was like back when, like, the olden times when there wasn't indoor plumbing and you had outhouses?
Maybe.
Because, God damn it, that's vile. but yeah, the answer is a shark because women don't have the witch's kiss problem unless they've really got, like, some Arby's going on there.
I'm just now picturing, oh my God, John Leguizamo had a comedy bit when he first came on the scene where he was just talking about his entire life, and he talked about how he lost his virginity to a prostitute with giant labia, and he said when she was all done, she took a pussy lip in each hand and just flapped away. Goodbye, Mothra, thank you. I think about that every time anyone says anything about roast beef. I'm like, ah, Mothra.
That's all sorts of wrong and hilarious.
Dude, it's that comedy special is so fucked up, but it's hilarious. And he was young too. It was like early 90s John Leguizamo.
I like John Leguizamo. Like, he rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's like you kind of just got to give him another chance.
Yeah, no, I genuinely like him in a lot of things. And I think it was because he was in a lot of stuff that I really enjoyed in the 90s. So I'm like, yeah, he gets a pass. Like, he's said and done some stupid shit, but generally I enjoy him.
Yeah, I mean, he won me over with Land of the Dead.
Oh, I fucking love him in Land of the Dead.
Wish we got more of that John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
And also, what's that new Christmas movie? Silent Night.
Oh, Violent Night.
Violent Night, sorry. Silent Night was the other Christmas movie with second RoboCop there.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to see that. I never got a chance to see because that was a John Woo flick.
I heard it was really bad.
Ah, that's a bummer. I actually didn't hear much about it. I just kind of missed it.
Because I was like, oh, John Woo Christmas action film? And then people are like, no, don't. It's not what you think, unfortunately. So, last one. Mm-hmm. And I dodged this bullet today, thank God. What's worse, shitty food at Thanksgiving or politics at Thanksgiving?
Oh, God, I'm going to go politics at Thanksgiving.
You've never had, like, a really shitty Thanksgiving dinner?
I can thankfully say that I haven't. But, I mean, you got to figure, like, okay, first of all, I'm a fat dude. So there's a lot that I can stomach with no problem. So, like, shitty food, it's going to be like, eh, okay. But feeling uncomfortable and angry the entire time, yeah, no, I'd rather take a belly full of garbage food.
So I went to a Thanksgiving once. Thankfully, I had the excuse of I'm lactose intolerant, I can't touch this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was like, you know, this is going to be a potluck kind of Thanksgiving, bring a dish to pass.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those things, like, if you're not eating people's food, they're going to get offended. So they're not aware that they're god-awful cooks. You have to eat their shitty food, or they're going to be like, what's wrong? You don't like my uncooked scallops? What did I do? You know, it's like, no, I'm good. I don't want oysters right now that are live. So this person bragged about how great their macaroni and cheese was.
Oh, no.
So they're like, I'm going to make homemade macaroni and cheese. Everybody's going to love it. So this is what they did. They boiled pasta. They put it in a big easy foil tray and then slapped pieces of cheese on top of the macaroni.
Oh, God, no. And
then put sugar, cups of sugar on top of the slices of cheese and then just let it sit. That was their macaroni and cheese. They didn't stir it. Nothing. It was like a noodle, not even pizza. I don't know what the fuck you would call it, but it was just like looking at it. And it's just like, this person's never had macaroni and cheese before.
Did they hate somebody at the party? Was this revenge food?
It might have been. This person, I'm not going to say names because they're related to me, and I doubt they'll listen. But if they did, I don't want to be, like, you know, in trouble. But yeah, that was their version of macaroni and cheese, and it was fucking vile. And
that is crazy to me.
A few people are like, this is so good. Yum. Oh, it's so tasty. You know, and you're like, no, that That's all sorts of wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God, that's foul.
So yeah, bad food or hearing about Trump.
Yeah, see, now the politic thing is mine, because like for the most part, my family, we don't talk a lot about politics, because while we agree on a lot of things, we disagree vehemently on certain things. And it's definitely caused problems at family get-togethers in the past. So we just kind of agree to disagree and not really talk about it. But every once in a while you have the extended family and something gets brought up, and then it's just uncomfortable and annoying. There was a lot of that after, you know, COVID restrictions got lifted. It was like, so
yeah,
I'd rather just not have to deal with that shit.
A lot of people, like, how do you have any right to fucking talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, it's just like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you ever just go and check your facts before you say dumb shit like that?
You'd like, be no, surprised the amount that don't.
Yeah, like, no, the world isn't flat.
I love that in 2024 we're arguing that still.
Yeah, there's people in prominent positions of power that don't believe in outer space.
Uh-huh.
That's the world we live in, and that's okay to be that fucking stupid.
I really want to know where the timeline shifted. Like, what did we screw up and when that we got stuck on this timeline? Because this timeline is not right. Something's wrong with it.
I don't know. It's the internet giving every single person an opinion.
Yeah, honestly, I've said this before. The past 4 years, I think, is the direct result of what happened with COVID, because everybody was stuck at home. Like, you had the people like myself, you know, who had no choice but to continue to go to work. But you had a lot of people who were stuck at home. They were scared. They were nervous. They didn't know what was going on. Their entire world was just thrown into upheaval. So what do people do when they're in those situations? They try to find comfort. They try to find like-minded people. They try to find things that are going to give them a sense of ease. So with most people being trapped at home, they went online. They found these echo chambers that all confirmed everything that they believed and everything that they feel, and then they came back into the regular world once the restrictions were lifted with that delusion that everything is the way that I see it, because I've been around nothing but people who confirm this echo chamber of like, of course COVID's false, of course Trump was robbed of the presidency, you know. And it's like, no, you've just been hanging out with people who think like you.
Yeah, no, COVID's killed people. Yeah. In my life.
Yeah.
It's same. Fucking real. Sorry. I'm not getting into politics. I'm gonna stay apolitical, because there's probably one person that listens to this that's like super into one party or another.
Right. It
might rhyme with shrump. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to have our listener count dropped below 20. So,
well, no, and I'll say this again, like, I don't care what you believe in. I truly don't. Like, you, whatever your politics are, whatever your beliefs are, fine. Just don't force other people. That's my main thing. I don't
care what your politics are either. It's not sports.
Right. Yes, exactly.
You don't get to gloat when your team wins. Just shut up and go vote.
Right.
I don't care.
Yes. 100% yes.
These people you're voting for, it doesn't matter what side they're on, don't give a fuck about you.
No.
They don't know your name. They could give two shits.
They care about you as long as you're voting for them, because then their job is secured.
Yeah, and they're getting money. So yeah. Just, I don't fucking care. Shut up.
And this is where Josh would come in as Werner.
Yeah. I want to touch the baby. Okay, this was supposed to be funny. I just, yeah. Sorry.
Hey, I mean, it's
it is what
about.
It is. Are you ready for the news? We have a lot of it.
Yes.
Finally, we have shit to talk about. Let's do breaking news for today. First, we've got some McFarlane stuff. They have a new cost point, the Prestige class. I don't know. It's more paint on a figure you already have. It's Batman Arkham Asylum. It's going to be a GameStop exclusive. So maybe the GameStop exclusives are called Prestige figures, $22.99. to later this week, there is going to be Mattel panel stuff for their like online con, Masters Universe, Street Sharks, things like that. We'll get to that later. Mike, did you see the pictures of the Joy Toy Warhammer 40K Sons of Horus, Warmaster Horus, Primarch of the 15th Legion figure?
I did.
Jesus H. Christ, that's one busy fucking figure.
I love how it looks, but I won't be getting this one. Because I guarantee you this one's going to be like one of the $89.99 releases. And it's the upper body is too busy. Like I've been impressed with the articulation on all the Warhammer figures, considering how crazy the sculpts are.
Yeah.
But I do have one of the, I forget the name of them, but it's one of the ones that has like a lot of the busy, like shoulder sculpts, and the range of motion is very limited while the rest of the figure is very articulated. But for the price, it's just too much, but fucking sculpt wise is gorgeous.
Are you still sniffing around the mechs from, Joy Toy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I finally put the one that you gave me for my birthday up, and I was like, yeah, I gotta get another one sooner than later. Let's see here. Todd McFarlane has announced a new subline called Music Maniacs.
And these first ones are actually articulated.
6 inches with limited articulation, a little more than modern Movie Maniacs. I think these are going to have, I don't know, there's a picture of Alice Cooper, and he looks pretty articulated.
That's what I was going to say. Like, he's got thigh, knee, waist, shoulder, elbow, wrist, and neck. Like, he might have even more in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not perfect, but pretty cool. It's
better than a statue.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know who's into Alice Cooper still, but I'm sure that Todd's going to make what Todd likes, so expect Kiss very, very soon.
Yes.
Let's see. All right, let's get into the news proper. Snout Spout has been shown off from Mattel, as has Cyclone. So Snout Spout is Masterverse. People are already getting them. If they order them, they live close enough to the shipping centers. He's really fucking cool.
It looks cool.
If you're a Snout Spout fan, totally go for it. The Cyclone figure, there's been pictures that have been leaked before. It's Cyclone with the 2000X back piece. Mm-hmm. It's like the ring that snaps forward. And yes, he's got hand tornadoes in his shield. He looks pretty cool. He's in a box, if you can think of like Mossman. Mm-hmm. And he's in the Fright Zone on the packaging. It's pretty cool. Let's see here. Walmart Collector Con dropped a bunch of stuff that immediately sold out in like the first minute. Mostly Mattel stuff. So all the Turtles of Grayskull stuff, all of the Masters Universe stuff, a bunch of wrestling stuff, a bunch of AEW stuff. Didn't make it more than a minute. People had it in their cart. Went to go check out, me included, and it was sold out. Which unfortunately stopped me from buying other stuff because I was going to like stack it to get free shipping, and it didn't work. So I was like, fuck this. I don't want it anymore.
Right.
Which is on Mattel or on Walmart. I don't know if it's scalpers or limited availability or what. Hey, I think Turtles of Grayskull is cool, but I'm not going to pay secondary market prices for Mossman or Krang. Oh, they're not worth $60 to me, unfortunately. Let's see. Your Super 7 has teased the Mirage first appearance Ninja Turtles in reaction form, which is pretty cool. I just reread the first mini trade paperback for the Turtles where they fight Shredder on the rooftop. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be pretty cool if they look right. I don't know if they're going to be like action figure thin bodies in black and white, or if they're going to be shorter and stout.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that confuses me with the Ninja Turtle ones. Like, I have a bunch of the secondary characters, like the reaction figures. Like, I'm looking at Triceraton right now, and they got the proportions correct on those. But the actual four turtles themselves, I feel like the proportions, they didn't get correct in reaction form. So if they can do the proportions on these, I'll be all over them. But if they look the way the colored versions do, I'm not going to be interested.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the Playmates ones that they did in black and white that are close enough for me, and those are kind of my Mirage black and white turtles for now. I never got the NECA ones. Those are probably the closest, in my opinion. Or maybe, I know Mezco kind of has some shit that they've done that's also pretty cool. But right. As affordability-wise, that's probably what I'm going to stick with. Also from Mattel, Street Sharks are back.
Yeah, I was interested in this because I never had any as a kid. Like, I played with a bunch of them, but I never actually owned any.
Me neither, and I played with a few. And it looks like they've kept all the action features, like the rubber bodies, but they have Masters of the Universe articulation now. So if you're picturing like the ball, elbows, and shoulders, same thing with the hips and the knees. No announcing if they're like pop and swap with the parts. I hope so. You know, I don't know if they need it as much as He-Man does, but there's six figures that they showed off, two waves of three. And it's the main sharks plus Dr. Pteranodon and the electric eel villain, where you could pop and swap, get like a drill or a buzzsaw that you put on his head. And yeah. The price point's not bad either. It's like $25, right? Or is it 30?
I think it was right around 25. I'm trying to find him again.
Let me Walmart Collecticon. I'm loving it. You're gonna beat me to it.
Oh, it doesn't have the prices listed here where I'm looking.
It's like $25-$30. They come in a cage. It's everything 20, at the old
25. Yep,
25. It's fucking right in line with all the other action figures that are out today.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fucking cool, in my opinion. I might get one or two. Like, I don't have any sentimental attachments to the Street Sharks, but they look cool.
Well, and that little cage packaging they come with is pretty neat. Like, again, I never had these as a kid, like I said, but the plastic cage that they're in, it looks like the cardboard is just wrapped around the interior plastic cage. So not only do you get a figure, but you get a cage to put them in.
Yeah, it's like a Boglins cage.
Yeah, that's pretty damn cool.
Very damn cool, if you ask me. Street Sharks, what's old is new again. And only if Mattel would do that with Mighty Max.
Mm-hmm.
Mattel. Let's see here. Playmates is not re-releasing. They're putting out classic Turtles with modern articulation. So
I am so fucking excited and scared for this line.
Let's pick this apart. Let me tell you what I found out that's wrong with the line and what's right. So in the pictures that they haven't officially shown off yet, two heads are swapped. So the Turtles always have like a distinct face, and it's like Raphael and Donatello. They got the face expression swapped, which if you're a hardcore Turtles fan would drive you nuts. If you're a casual fan, you're not going to notice, but it's like the mouth is on one side or the other or both. And they got those crisscrossed. The other thing that's kind of pissing people off, the weapons they have are the weapons that are with the current Playmates super articulated Ninja Turtles. That you can find at like Burlington Coat Factory. Okay. So it's a nunchuck with real chains, but it's just a recycled nunchuck from another Ninja Turtle figure. Having said that, I think it's fine. They look okay.
Yeah.
They're a little big, but it's fine.
As long as they fit in their hands, that's all I care about.
Yeah. I think like the weapons tree would be cool, you know, but if that's what they want to do, more power to them. They each come with like a rooftop base that connects to make one big rooftop.
That's cool.
You've got it's the He-Man articulation that's kind of becoming standard for a lot of these figures, but you've got ball jointed knees, ball jointed hips, ankle movement, wrist movement, ball elbows, ball shoulders, waist swivel, and a ball jointed head. So I think they're pretty damn cool, and I'm guessing the price is going to be around that $20-$25 price range, if that, because Turtles are always cheap.
Right.
It's just the four Turtles. I know they're kind of playing it safe because it's the same body with just new heads. I don't know if there's more coming out. Josh read that it's the first wave of figures from the 80s. So there's going to be Bebop, Rocksteady, Splinter, Shredder
in April
also. I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like that would be the smartest thing to do. Because there's been so many incarnations of just the four Turtles that most collectors who are just going to buy the Turtles already have them.
Yeah.
And then the people you're going to make the money on are people like you, me, and Josh, who are buying these because we had them as kids, want the new versions, and we're the type of people that are going to mainly buy the other mutants, the other monsters, that kind of stuff, because we have 1,000 iterations of the four turtles. But yeah, I would, if this is basically TMNT Origins, and they do the same thing Mattel did, and they're just like, hey, here's a bunch of our classic figures with modern articulation and pop and swap capabilities, I'm scared, because that's going to hurt my wallet really, really bad. Because TMNT, as I've said before, is probably my second favorite toy line of all time, G.I. Joe being the number one. So I'm really nostalgic for a lot of those figures. And this could hurt my wallet a lot.
Yeah. I got to see them. And I know what I'm going to be like. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'll just get this one. And then that's going to snowball, because it always does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing with Masters of the Universe. It's like, I've got the Super Sevens, I've got the Ultimates, right. I've got the Originals. Do I need the same thing, the same size with a couple more joints?
Right.
And it's like, oh, fuck. You know,
see, where
there's ones that I will definitely, like, if you put them all in front of me right now, I'm going to get Baxter Stockman.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And well, and that's the thing. The Super Seven, I only have a handful. Like, I've only ever bought, the only ones I bought like a full price were Mutagen Man and Muck Man. And then I ended up buying Baxter and Metalhead for discounted price. And then Jess got me the Foot Soldier and Bebop. I think that's all of the Super 7 ones that I have. Like the Ultimates. But as far as like the Originals, like, I only have a handful of my vintage TMNT toys. So I would definitely be kind of doing the same thing I did with He-Man, where it was like, I primarily just bought the ones I had as a kid. And then the ones that I got that I, you know, never had as a kid were either ones that I really wanted or ones that I wished they had have made. Or in the case of Sunman, it was just like, oh, this is cool looking, and it fits into my collection. It was like, dude with wings and a dude with a pig head. Yeah, sure. Why not? Throw him in there.
I think what's getting me is, like, I wouldn't have rebought the classic turtles if I knew these were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, with Super 7, with their Ultimates, this is why their Ultimates is having trouble, because Playmates is like, no, we're going to do our thing now. You can't make Rat King, whatever. I don't think they're going to get that far into this, because they've done this before, and they never get past Bebop and Rocksteady. Every time. You know,
while I will agree with you on that, it's when they try to shift form. So they go like, all right, so Playmates is like, we're going to do super articulated collector versions of the turtles that are 6-inch versions of the turtles, but we're still going to, you know, do the toy thing that we do where we want them to be toyetic. So we're going to use like the cheaper plastic. We're going to, you know, not paint everything. We're going to skimp out on paint apps and this, that, and the other. And we're going to charge a semi-premium price, where it's they fall somewhere between toys and premium collectibles, and nobody wants them. The people who wanted toys don't want them. The people who want the premium collectibles aren't going to buy those, because they're going to buy the ones that are, they look better, have better paint apps, have better articulation. So, like, yeah, I mean, every time Playmates does that, they fail. Yet when they re-release old toys, like the vintage toys, they always sell. Like, they might linger around in certain shops, but they keep putting them out for a reason. They always do sell.
Except for these most recent ones, where they cut way too much paint.
That, yeah, the paint apps a lot of people were pissed about.
So, hey, coming later this year, I think this summer, expect a lot of Turtle stuff. It's kind of like this is probably the fourth or fifth Turtles renaissance that we've gotten. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
Speaking of Turtles, for the new cartoon that's coming out, the first wave of figures are Pop and Swap figures. So you get the four Turtles, Splinter, Metalhead, and two other robots that have some sort of purpose on the show, and I don't know what it is.
But I'm a little annoyed with that Splinter because I would have waited and got that Splinter had I known they were going to release the one with the cloth robe and the bow and arrow. I'm like, well, oh,
there's
man.
There's also 80s Splinter coming out in the next wave of figures for the Mutant Mayhem movie that has Ray Filet, 80s Splinter with the afro, and G-Op and Rocksteady. Yeah. So it's like he's getting more love than he's ever gotten before. I'll be getting that Splinter because Zoe has to have every Splinter. That's her favorite Turtles character. Thanks to the movie. And Metalhead looks like he fits in that universe. The other two look like some sort of TCRI something.
Yeah.
James Gunn has announced that a Teen Titans movie is in the works, which a lot of people figured out. He was saying that Warner Brothers has had a problem in that they have a lot of potential with some properties that they'd never jumped on. And I'd say Teen Titans for sure has a built-in audience for a movie. I'm just going to guess that the Batman movie comes out before this and we establish one of the Robins or several Robins that will be in the Teen Titans movie. But with the cartoon being as popular as it is, I would guess that it's a classic lineup or pretty close to it of Beast Boy, Cyborg, Raven, Starfire, and Robin. Let's see here. Super 7 is doing Beastie Boys Sabotage Ultimate Figures for your Beastie Boys fan in your life. I love that video, and I love the Beastie Boys. I don't really need $50 figures.
That's kind of, I was like, reaction figures, I can understand. $50 Ultimates, okay.
Yeah, like, all right. I think their music shit, their rap figures sell a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know that their Wu-Tang Clan stuff, like, they can't keep it in stock.
Yeah.
Like the reaction, oh, dirty bastard, you can't find it ever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. There's a 5-point line for the Goonies coming out from Mezco. Certain Mr. Matt LeMay is upset that they are only making the kids in Sloth again, not the Fratellis, not the older teens. I get it. I don't need the older teens, but I'd love the Fratellis.
I was just going to say, I would love, yeah, especially in like the 5-point, you know, 3 3/4 inch kind of figure, like, give me Ma Fratelli in that line. Yeah, I would buy that.
Ma Fratelli as just Ma Fratelli in your pocket, yelling at you. Put her around the house.
I always remember her from Throw Mama from the Train. Just Owen doesn't have a friend like that. Yeah, like, always sticks in my head.
It's Ma Fratelli. She's the best. Let's
or
see
when her head explodes in my deadly.
God damn it! That fucking movie. Deadly Friend drives me nuts because the robot that's under the skin for Deadly Friend doesn't fit the body.
Not at all.
And it makes no sense.
Oh, that was a weird one. But my God, it gave us that head explode basketball scene, and I'll love it forever for that.
I could watch it on a loop just like the the Prophecy Bear.
Yes.
Hasbro let it leak that two upcoming G.I. Joe classified figures. Are you ready? Blowtorch. Matt LeMay put a diaper on. Road Pig is coming out. So congratulations. Did you see, Mike, that they're making Final Fight 3 3/4 figures in Japan from 52 Toys?
I did, and I'm a little jealous. I hope they come over here.
They don't look amazing, but they're pretty cool. Like, I think for the right price, I'd be like, okay.
I just want 3 3/4 inch Hagar to beat the shit out of G.I. Joe's.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, Cody and Guy, meh.
Yeah.
That's one of those games that I played the shit out of.
Oh, same, dude. Like, I had it on every console that it came out on that I owned. So, yeah. Like, I had the Super Nintendo version, I had the Sega CD version, I had the PC version. Fucking loved it.
Great fucking game. NECA, more Turtles news, is making another part to the sewer gigantic. It's over $1,000 when it's done. Donnie's Lab. If you pre-order it, you can get another part of the sewer in Donnie's Lab if you have the room in your house. Apparently, that's what people are complaining about. That is like, where the fuck am I going to put this thing? Because I have all these other collections. If you're a Turtles fan, make it happen. Don't be a bitch. I don't know what else to say.
Well, this is one of those things I can honestly say I dreamed of as a kid when I was super into Turtles. Like, I wanted play sets that clipped together that created the full sewer layer and had a street above it. Like, I wanted that so bad. I used to pretend I'd make box forts and do that with the inside the box would be the sewer. And then the top of the box, I'd like draw a road on it and pretend that it was a street level. So like, if you're the type of collector that has a focused collection, you know, and Turtles is it, this would be the centerpiece. Like, these sets are gorgeous.
Yeah. But I mean, the only thing I think I can think of, mm-hmm. beyond what NEC is doing, that maybe would get funded if it looked cool enough, and it would be insane. But can you imagine Super 7 doing a crazy deluxe Technodrome?
Oh, Jesus Christ, that would be amazing.
It would go over 1,000.
Oh, easily.
But I can also see a Turtles fan just being like, yes, let me, what? You know, remortgage my house.
But it's also, I really do think that it's the focused collection thing, because people like you and I and Josh, we're very unfocused collectors. Like, we have the things that we will focus on, but we're still all over the place. You know, we dabble in a little bit of everything. But then you have those collectors that are like, no, I only buy horror toys. Or no, I only buy G.I. Joe. Or I only get wrestling figures. And that's what these types of high-end collectibles, that's who the market is for these. Because, like, people like you and I aren't just going to be like, I want Donnie's Lab and spend a couple $100 to get it. You know,
that's a good point that you brought up. Hold on to that. If we have time, I'm going to come back to that. How much shit do we actually collect? Like, how many? It's like, well, I collect this. I collect that. I got to get this. I got to get that. We'll go back to it. Let's see here. There's Turtles sketch figures. The original Ninja Turtles, how they looked as sketches. Those are getting figures. I believe those are Target exclusive. Don't quote me on this. It seems like that's the way to go for a lot of these lines now, is that one of the big retailers gets it.
Right.
And it seems like Walmart gets the cooler stuff, in my opinion, even though it's damn impossible to find half the time. The Simpsons figures have left Super 7, and now you can find them at Jazzwares. And this kind of leads to what Randy was saying. Not Randy. What's his face, Magoo, over at Super 7?
Oh, God, I can never think of his name. Brian.
Yeah, Brian Flynn was saying that, like, the expectations from Disney did not match what the market can support. Mm-hmm. And I believe it, because Playmates kind of petered out with the Simpsons stuff. It's not on the, you know, it's not like a popular zeitgeist thing like it was 15 years ago. So now Jazzwares is going to do a full rollout of Simpsons figures, and I don't think it's going to be as popular as Disney seems to think and demand cash-wise. So if Super 7 can't push out Crazy Deluxe Ultimates, which are as close as you can get to high-end as far as action figures go before you go into, like, Hot Toys territory, then I don't think Jazzwares is going to sell them. NECA has Toy Colors Dungeons & Dragons figures coming out. I can't remember if we talked about this last week or not, but you get Warduke, you get Strongheart, one other one. Or it's just Warduke and Strongheart.
I think it's just Warduke and Strongheart.
Yeah, first wave, Warduke and Strongheart. I forgot to do show and tell. We can go back to that because I opened up my D&D guys, but they're super cool. And last news for the week, there's a new Leprechaun movie coming out.
Oh, no shit.
In the works. I guess the rights got settled and Lionsgate has Leprechaun again. So they've got a new Leprechaun movie in the works with a good team behind it. Seems exciting. And coming from the lovely people who made Psycho Gorman, we're getting another Deathstalker movie.
I'm so fucking excited for that.
When I read that news, I could not think of a more amazing property for them to touch than fucking Deathstalker.
Yes.
I'm so fucking excited for them to do a Sword and Sandal movie.
Oh, it's going to be badass.
It's going to be the best thing ever. It's just, there's no way that it's gonna fail.
No,
it's gonna be the best. That I'm guessing will be out next year, unless they really need a lot of time to develop it. Okay, Mike, it was your birthday, sort of,
mm-hmm.
last week.
On birthday.
On birthday. What did you get? What kind of cool stuff? Show and tell time.
Holy Moses. I got way more than I expected. Like, I didn't expect anyone to get me anything, so I was super happy. I got the Tanuki Mario, which I immediately gave Play-Doh balls to because he's a Tanuki.
I wasn't sure if that was a picture you found or you sculpted balls.
I totally sculpted Play-Doh balls on him because I was like, it's a Tanuki. He needs a nutsack.
That's right. Mario's giant pendulous nuts.
But one thing I have to say, like, I had not gotten any of the Mario figures from the movie. I bought Caleb one of the mini Marios that just come with the question block.
Yeah.
And that was a cool little figure, but he didn't seem super interested. Like, he put it up on his shelf with his other Mario stuff that he has. But since he didn't express any interest, I didn't buy any. But I got to say, I am really impressed with what they did with those toys. What is it? Was it Jazzwares that made those?
I want to say so, yeah.
I think it was them. But the eyes are gorgeous. Like, they have this almost like this acrylic shine to them. I don't know how to describe it, but they look like eyeballs. They like look realistic. And they kind of follow you everywhere you go. So it's really funny when Tanuki Mario's standing there with his nuts out, just looking at you everywhere you go.
Can you imagine that was his ability in the game? As he just stares.
Stares at you with his balls out.
Look at my nuts, sir. He teabags you, and then you just commit suicide out of shame.
And speaking of genitalia, I got the Dune popcorn bucket.
Okay, Mike, I have to apologize. I got excited and opened it.
No, hey. That was totally fine.
We were kind of like goofing around, and I was talking to, Jesus Christ, a few people, and the Dune popcorn bucket came out, and I just grabbed the top of it and opened it, and then everybody took turns fisting it. And then after the fact, I was like, wait, this is Mike's gift. I shouldn't have done that. But then I was like, ah, shit.
Dude, I would have, if I were in the room, I would have been doing the same thing. Because the first thing I did was like, can my hand even fit in here? And then I was like, wow, that is extremely uncomfortable. Like, who thought this was a great idea for a popcorn bucket? But God bless him, because it makes a perfect Sarlacc pit. As I sent you the photos of my little Galaxy Squadron figures.
You know, it's cool with regular 3 3/4, but the Galaxy Squadron, it's the perfect gigantic Sarlacc pit. And it's awesome.
It's so much fun with those figures. Like, and that was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, it with the Galaxy Squadron, it's the perfect size. But yeah, for like, I threw my vintage the vintage collection Jawa in there, and I was like, that's still fun. That's still really fun. But then
the
only
downside with that is I haven't yet to find a cool tentacles to go with it. I had the old. The potato monster with the tentacles from the last three Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah, I forget what that was from Force Awakens.
Yeah, I bought like a dozen of them, so I just have tons of tentacles, and I was using that, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll find something someday of like a nice, fun, bendy tentacle somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Josh will make something, but it's either way, it's a cool throw dudes in a hole.
Well, and that's the thing. It made me question, like, why has Hasbro or Kenner never taken advantage of the Sarlacc playset? Like, why was this never made? Because seeing this, like, just this hunk of plastic with the little bendy, you know, needle teeth in the middle, it's like, all right, if they literally made just this, like a solid piece of plastic with an opening in it, and they could have even done, like, little foam teeth or something back in the day, they could have sold this as a playset.
They made the effort to make the trash compactor.
Right.
Why?
It just blows my mind, because I would have loved this as a kid. But yeah, I also got you gave me the Red Jet Jaguar from the Godzilla blind box line. And I got to say, like, something about him in solid red, he just reminds me of like a weird robot you would see in the background of a cantina scene. You know, just like he has that 70s sci-fi aesthetic that I love so much.
So I wasn't sure if Super 7 was just making these up, if they were based on something. vinyl Godzilla figures, Ultraman, Gamera, stuff like that. There's a weird collector's market in Japan, and a lot of those you get them via some sort of special buy a magazine, get a barcode kind of thing. It's a weirder system, and they're based out of some sort of magazine availability in Japan. All of them are based on that. The Jet Jaguars, the weird black Mechagodzilla, the clear glittery Godzilla, they're all based on something. They're not just made up.
Okay.
So the two Jet Jaguars in particular, though, are paying homage to some sort of weird-ass, obscure Japanese vinyl.
I honestly really like him in the solid red. I think that I like it better than the regular Jet Jaguar figure.
I just think he's neat.
Yeah, he's nice, cool.
He's cool.
And then I got the G.I. Joe Classified Vipra, who, again, like, I almost bought her, even though I'm not buying Classified, I almost bought her because I found her for $8.99 on clearance. And I was like, you know, I don't really have a collection of them. And even though cool ninja figure, whatevs. But I ended up getting her for my birthday. And I got to say, like, I still have my problems with Classified. I still hate the thigh joints. Some of the joints on every one of my figures get a little too tight and they stick, yep. Which really bothers me because I feel like that's not going to age well. But overall, like, the design of this figure and the posability is really cool. Like, I've gotten her in some really cool kung fu kicking positions. So definitely, you know, Hasbro both impresses and pisses me off on a regular basis.
Skull Mask.
Yeah, the Skull Mask makes it.
It's cool.
It really does. But two other Hasbro things that I picked up was I got the Core Class Tasmanian Kid.
Yeah.
From Transformers, who, what the fuck? Like, Josh was not exaggerating when he said this guy is insanely weird but fun. Like, transformed into the weird little Tasmanian devil thing, it's kind of terrifying looking because it looks so wrong. It just, I don't know, it looks like a cursed image. But then as a figure, like a robot figure, he just has these like open palm karate hands, and it's really fun the way it's articulated because you can bend his wrist back and make him like forehead slap people. So yeah, I just keep cracking myself up having him smack people in the head. But he's this cool looking robot. And then I got the Megatron that transforms into the weird spaceship. And this is something I absolutely adore about the Core Class, and I'm kind of sad that it's going away, is that when they get the sculpt right, it is a well-articulated 3-inch robot that is just a fun robot toy to play with. And then the transformation is simple because they're so small, so you can actually transform it in like a couple of seconds and get a cool spaceship out of it. And I fucking love Transformers like this. Like, this is what it reminds me of, the ones that we had as kids, where it was a simple transformation, or simple-ish, where you could jump back and forth. But unlike when we were kids, robot mode is an actual action figure. Whereas when we were kids,
a robot printed on the bottom of a car.
Yeah, it was like a brick with two movable limbs, you know. But yeah, I don't know anything about this version of Megatron, this design for the spaceship. But it's a cool, you know, spaceship robot. I dig it. And then the last two things that I got were a little on the pricey side, but the people who are making that Robo Skull, the Red Shadows Robo Skull, I'm still waiting on my Robo Skull. I backed that, what, 2020?
Yeah, still... like, I went on there. I didn't back it, but you can read the updates if you go on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, what are they doing? Like, everything has to be like so perfect.
Yeah,
I feel bad for you, man, just waiting and waiting, but those figures look amazing.
And well, and that's the thing, like, I'm bummed out that it's taken so long, but at the same time, I think I'd be more bummed out if it arrived and it's like, well, we couldn't quite get this piece right and this part doesn't work right. Like, you know what, perfect the damn thing and then send it to me. But in the meantime, was it Marauder Gunrunners? I think they're doing the figures. They released the Geyer Wolf, who is one of the ones I bought. Now, he's classic, like, 25th style articulation for G.I. Joe. Like, if you can think of what the 25th anniversary G.I. Joes were articulated like, he's that with better waist articulation. Unfortunately, because it's that design, there are certain things like the web gear fits a little wonky. Like, it fits well, but, like, it kind of hinders some of the articulation. And because they went with a chrome color scheme, some of the chrome flaked off of the accessories already, which that always sucks. Well, I should say one accessory, because it's his jetpack. The peg that goes into his back, they had that chromed, and that chrome immediately flaked off. But and which unfortunately made it kind of a looser fit, which I'm like, you scaled it with the paint on there to be a nice tight fit, but it's chrome paint, so it's gonna flake the fuck off. Like, that sucks. And then it's got this storage on the side of the jetpack for these claws that he comes with. And again, the way it clips in, it chipped some of the chrome already. But my favorite thing about him is the head sculpt, because as I said when I first saw pictures, it's just some like middle-aged balding dude, and I'm sure he's one of the designers. But I just love the idea of, like, Jeff from accounting had enough and joined a terrorist organization. It just fucking cracks me up.
Have you ever seen The Postman, by any chance?
Oh, yeah.
The villain of The Postman reveals his origin. He's like, I was a refrigerator repairman.
Yep. Like, well, and that's, like, the Cobra Commander origins when he was a used car salesman. I know they've retconned it, like, three times.
I prefer that
but
to
yes,
Snake
I...
guy.
I fucking love the idea of him being a used car salesman who just snapped. But, and then the other one, speaking of G.I. Joe, is the Red Wolf, but vintage style. And I gotta say, after having this figure again, it's articulated just like a classic G.I. Joe. It's got the screw in the back, you know, the O-ring. The only thing that they changed was the wrists can swivel. So, like, he has wrist swivels. I wish they had gave it, like, either ankle or, like, mid-calf swivels, just so you could kind of get them not to be pigeon-toed when standing.
Yeah. That's the 2 points of articulation that I think Classic Joe's always needed, especially wrist articulation.
Yes, to hold guns.
And really, like, sturdier plastic in the hands.
Yeah.
So you're not breaking the thumbs off.
And the crotch.
Yeah, and then, yeah, better ankle something if you really want to display them, because when the more gear you get on them, the harder it is for them to kind of stay.
Right.
Something that, Mike, we've said this before, I wish the classifieds were held together with screws.
Yes.
Because that would really kind of, like, if you're on the fence, if you could take them apart and pop and swap easily, it would be really cool.
Honestly, if Hasbro were to do Classic Joes, like re-release the O-ring style Joes, not with the cheap ass plastic that they've done a couple of times already, but just like with the because the quality of plastic on this figure is insane. Like, this feels like a vintage Joe, only sturdier. Like, it actually feels a little like thicker and more well built than a Classic Joe figure. But if they were to release a whole new line of figures with this style of build, and just do two simple things. Keep the wrists where they swivel and keep the ankles where they swivel. Dude, I'd be all in.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, Super 7's doing it.
Are they, though? Because I thought they canceled a lot of the figures that they were doing because of the mothership.
No, they're going forward with the O-ring. They announced, like, the first wave.
Oh!
It's all animation right. style.
That's
like,
right.
Based on animation
right.
stuff, yeah. So expect, like, Quinn.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I might get some of those just to see how they are, because, you know, I do like the Super 7 reactions so much, as like, they're very toyetic. But I would like to see not animated style, just like, here's, you know, Duke. If we reimagined G.I. Joe the way they reimagined G.I. Joe in the 1980s, where they were like, you know, okay, we know G.I. Joe, here's a real American hero. If we did some kind of, like, modern take on these characters, like a complete redo, like what would Duke look like in 2024? What would Snake Eyes look like in 2024 with modern military equipment, but in that style of articulation? Yeah. And like that 3 and 3/4, I would be all over that. Like, or, I would love it.
Please go ahead and make, you know, Swamp Viper.
Mm-hmm.
Go just, you know, stuff that I know Hasbro's not going to be like, you can make Mummy Viper. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, do that kind of stuff. That's what I'm going to be like, okay. Also, these are the kind of things that are like, if they're ever on clearance,
oh, yeah.
I'm not going to hesitate. I am going to get them immediately. If I'm walking through a Target and it's like $9, oh, mm-hmm. God, yeah. Like, count me in.
I already do that with Reaction. It doesn't matter if it's a character that I really want or not. I bought the cartoon color Snake Eyes figure, the blue one with the flesh colored hands,
mm-hmm.
Because I found them on Amazon for $3. I was like, yeah, $3 for that. I don't want that Snake Eyes, but fuck yeah, okay. That's perfect.
Reactions are the new Funkos as far as like, what do I get my nerd friend for a gift? Reactions. Get them Reactions. Don't buy them Funkos because Funkos take up too much space. Get them Reactions.
And I can honestly say every Reaction figure I've gotten as a gift, I've been excited about every single time.
Because they're fucking cool.
Yep.
What else you get? Like, Target has been doing like their spend this, get this back if you have the Target Red app. Mm-hmm. So I just wait for sales and then I gotta go back and get shit that I haven't. I got a bunch of the second wave of the X-Men animated figures, and the series comes out this week. Like, I think the first episode does.
Yeah.
So I picked up Cyclops, which they finally got him right, where he doesn't have belts floating around the body. It's like part of the sculpt. He's got butterfly joints in the shoulders, so he kind of touches visor perfectly.
Nice.
I got Executioner, who I don't know anything about. I know he's like a 90s Jim Lee era X-Men character. And I had the old figure.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this new one, and like he looks like he doesn't have any articulation compared to like a regular Marvel Legends, but it's all hidden very nicely. So you think like he's got a hard plastic tunic covering like a regular Legends body. That's what you think looking at it, but like the tunic has points of articulation, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So like instead of being one solid hunk of plastic and the figures underneath, like he has a ball waist. The shoulders move. It's really cool. He's got a bunch of weapons, and I'm not sure exactly what their context is within the show, but he's got like a Mega Man blaster, two spears, a giant, like a long gun. He's just cool looking. And beyond that, I have a pile of toys in my basement that I haven't opened that I've been sitting on because I just haven't had the room. But now that I finally got my DVDs organized, I had space to put stuff up. I opened up the 3 movie. Flash Gordon figures, and they're amazing. The downside is you have them and it's like, what head do I put on them?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're that good. Like Ming, you could have helmet or no helmet. Flash Gordon, do you want like screaming face, laughing face, you know? And then same thing with Voltan, mm-hmm. the Birdman. It's like, fuck, these are really, really good figures. And something that they're doing finally is they're making the hands softer rubber or plastic, so you don't have to kill yourself getting the figures to hold their weapons.
That's one thing I can't stand. Like, I don't want them so fragile that they snap like old school G.I. Joes or old school Star Wars. But, you know, you need to make it so you don't feel like you're going to snap the weapon in half just putting it in their fucking hand.
Yeah. Well, this leads me to the other point. I open up the rest of the Dungeons & Dragons figures.
Mm-hmm.
They're all amazing.
Nice.
Elkhorn is the best out of all of them.
I got to get him.
But they all have the same, like, there's the joints are tight, but they're not like you have to stress to get them to bend.
Mm-hmm.
The hands are softer plastic, so you can get the weapons in without killing yourself. Warduke is just a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, the other big dude in the first wave, Skullfucker. What's his name?
Oh, Grimsword.
Grimsword, right.
Skullfucker.
You know, you can have classic Grimsword, which was just the shield and the mace, but they also give him a gigantic sword.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good inch and a half taller than Warduke. So it's like, this is really fucking cool because the scales are like they were with the old toys.
Right.
And Zarek is another one where you open him up and you're like, they gave him so many extras to kind of make up for the size. It's really cool. He's got his two, he's got, you know, the old toy had a dagger. This one's got two daggers and a short sword, grappling hook, poison, a bunch of different hands. You can take his hood off. It's really fucking cool. And then Strongheart's the only one that I was always kind of like, I thought he was sort of a nerd. I don't know how else to describe it. They make him really badass. They kind of like cool him up. So you don't get that guy who's got like the curly mustache. You can also put the visor down. He's just like a cool armored paladin.
Right.
You know, it's, I think it's sweet. They're really sweet figures. You ever get a chance to get them, don't hesitate.
If I see Alcorn, I'm definitely buying him. Because again, I've said before, he's my favorite vintage Dungeons and Dragons figure. And as much as the Grimsword and Warduke kind of put me off of buying more NECA, because I feel like I'm so afraid I'm going to break them, especially the accessories and like the wings on Warduke's helmet, that I keep them in the package. And I'm like, do I really, like, I'm not an in-package collector. So, but Alcorn, I got to get him because he's, like I said, the character's my favorite.
Get him. Do it. All right. Are you in front of the internet right now, Mike?
I am.
I need you to do me a favor.
What's up?
Go to Hasbro Pulse.
HasbroPulse.com.
Tell me when you're there.
I am there.
All right. Go to shop in the upper left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then scroll down to outlet.
Outlet. Okay.
All right. Now, I want you to fish through some of these until you get to, or you could just, can you search? No, you're going to have to go through, keep scrolling to the bottom. I think yours might be in a different order than mine, but there's two Dungeons and Dragons items on here that I think you're going to be interested in.
Oh, okay. Let me keep scrolling here. I don't see any, I see a lot of Star Wars, a lot of Transformers, Marvel Legends, Power Rangers. Oh, it might be on another page.
There's three pages. I don't know if you have them in the same order as mine. The first one, they're on the second page for me. And the prices are nuts.
Oh, here we go. Let me see. Second page. Oh, snap. Okay. I guess I'm getting Xanathar. Because, yeah, the freaking Beholder is definitely one that I wanted.
And he's 60% off. Was 50. Yeah. Was 70 when I got it. Now he's $20.91.
Yeah, now that's going to happen.
And the Displacer Beast, I don't know if he's worth it.
The Displacer Beast looks cool, but like it's not one of those creatures that I've ever been like. Like, I think it's a cool idea for a D&D monster, but the Displacer Beasts have never been one of those things that I, like, thought were super awesome. It's, because, again, how do you, and especially in toy form, like, how do you show its power? Like,
it can make a copy itself? Of itself? Yeah, it's sort of stupid. And I was going to, this came up in my mind because I was like, I hope, you know, NECA's making the characters from Dungeons & Dragons. It would be cool if they made some of the monsters.
Yes.
Because I think, like, past the wizards and Melf, I don't know if there's any more meat on the bone for some of this stuff. But I would get excited for, like, the swamp monster.
Oh, hell yeah. The shambling mound.
Yeah, like, there's a lot they could do that would be like, what? Take my money. And I saw, I'm not going to lie, I saw Xanthar and I was like, oh, shit, I'll get it for him for Christmas. But that's a whole, you know, 9 months, or you might find that at like Ollie's.
Yep.
And you'd buy it the first second you fucking saw it. I couldn't tell you not to. So there, $20.
Dude, I legit almost ordered it on Amazon like 2 weeks ago for 30.
It's it's worth 20.
Yeah, I was gonna say for 20. Oh, it's happening. I'm actually scrolling through this right now, going, is there anything else I want to get?
Like. And I was going to ask you, there's no free shipping. That's the fucking downside with Pulse is you can't like spend X and get free shipping. Because I was like, I'll just buy it and you can pay me to save the money. No, it's they don't fucking do that, unfortunately, because they're assholes. Because there's some shit that I wanted to get, but it's like, great. unless you want to get premium. And then even with their premium, you have to spend a certain amount to get free shipping. It's like $75.
Oh, that's stupid.
Because they're fucking idiots. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Hey, they got Elvis MODOK.
That's a sweet set. It's a little more expensive than I think it's worth, because Elvis MODOK's the only thing that's worth getting for, because it comes with like a weird character, the Captain, who's not Captain America, but kind of Captain America from like this MODOK universe. I'm going to get the retro collection for Lum and Zuckuss. And there is an animated VHS Marvel Legends set with Smythe from the Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot about that dude.
I always thought he was a comic book character. He's not. He was exclusive to the cartoon. So in my like crazy OCD brain, I need him because he's like a unique character, even though he's just the guy with the mullet with crap coming off of him.
Wasn't that most of the 90s character designs, the guy with the mullet and crap coming off of him?
Yeah. I mean, he's got everything except for like the thigh belt and a giant boot.
Yeah, he needed some pouches.
Yeah, that serve no purpose. So yeah, hey, Xanthar.
Sweet.
There you go.
Well, that'll be happening.
Blah, blah, blah. I never got to 9. I was going to make like 9 questions of what's worse. I got to 5, and then like my day exploded. I'll do the other 2 because there's really no game here, but we could just have it for a funny sake of conversation. Actually, no. Fuck it. We'll skip it because Josh isn't here, and it's almost 8 o'clock, which is crazy.
Damn, that is crazy.
2 topics I want to discuss. We can save this for when Josh comes. What do we collect? Like, you know, I have to get G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, Transformers, horror movie figures, Garbage Pail Kids, Mad Balls, blah, 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 blah. And it gets out of hand, but Josh should chime in here too, because he's just like us, where he doesn't collect just one thing.
Right.
He collects many things, and then, you know, much to the dismay of his significant other. Here's what I want to talk about you real quick, and then we'll wrap things up. I took Zoe to the Museum of Play yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it dawned upon me that every time I go, I'm with Zoe, and I cannot enjoy the Museum of Play for the things that I like. Have you ever taken Caleb to the Museum of Play?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been there recently?
No, I haven't been there in probably about 6 years.
It's nuts. It was nuts before. It is really nuts now. So these are some of the additions that, as a nerd, you would want to spend a lot of time with. Mm-hmm. There is 3 giant video game sections now. So there's a regular arcade, a pinball arcade, and a gigantic arcade where you can play like Street Fighter on a 20-foot screen, Sonic the Hedgehog. They changed the games up.
Oh, damn.
It's insane. You can't enjoy these things when your daughter just wants to go play in the Barbie section and do other stuff.
Right.
And then spread out throughout the entire museum, there's Star Wars, He-Man, classic action figures all over the place. So you need to take your time and like look and check them out and enjoy them, because you're like in some nook and cranny somewhere. There's like a vintage Jack face. There's original 12X Star Wars. There's He-Man. There's like a carded original Sun Man. Shit that it's like, whoa, that's really cool. But if your daughter's like, fuck this shit, and she's split, you can't enjoy it. So hear me out. What if we did, I don't know how we could do it without getting in trouble, like a live from the Museum of Play Count Creepyhead?
That would be pretty awesome.
I don't know exactly like the logistics or if they would kick us out, or we could just share our memories after the fact. Mm-hmm. But next time you get like time off and you're awake during the day, you should grab Caleb.
Yeah.
And we could just bring a bucket of quarters and play like fucking classic Aliens.
Aw, dude, or, I would play so many freaking games there.
Take your pick. This, the pinball section alone is nuts. They have like the Elvira pinball machine. What, you know, the T2 pinball game. Why wouldn't you want to play those?
Right.
And you could also, we could take the time and find all of the classic action figures that are hanging around. It might be worth our time. I know you like, when you have your time off, you like to sleep.
Yeah.
And the idea of getting up and driving to Rochester is a bit crazy, but if it could ever happen, I think we should do it.
I think that would be a lot of fun. I mean, I haven't been back there, shit, and many, many years. But when I was there, they had an arcade, but it was like, it was kind of scattered. It was random. Like we have a couple photos of me and Caleb playing Guitar Hero in the arcade. And then there was like a couple of, God, I don't even remember what you call them, but they're basically the ROM hack arcade machines where it's like you have a list and it's like, oh, Rygar, Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, and then you pick that one and play it. But it didn't have like a proper arcade.
No, it's a proper arcade. And it's every time I go, it's the same thing. You know, family takes their kids and dad's like, I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. And you can't get him out of there. Or he's desperately trying to make the most of the 3 minutes that mom gave him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just, it's really, really cool. The only downside is it's not free to play because you got to get quarters, but everything is a quarter. Mm-hmm. It's neat. I didn't get to go in last time because Zoe was just all over the place. But yeah, I'd love to go without her. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, and you can go to the gift shop and get pissed off at all the prices. Like, you could pick up, they have, like, Horde Troopers there for $40 each.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the prices are, like, 3 to 4 times what things are for retail. They have, like, the Netflix animated guys for $30.
Yeah, no, hell no.
It's, like, remember the minifigures that were carded?
Yeah.
They're, like, $14.99.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's you know, they got you by the balls because your kid has to have a toy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that's in there that's just covered in dust that, like, nobody's willing to spend the money on.
Well, yeah, because fuck that.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you've ever been to an amusement park or, like, you got to get the popcorn bucket or the cup or whatever, it's like you're going to pay. There's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. I know, like, thankfully Caleb isn't the kind of kid that's like, I got to go to Disney.
Oh, no.
But Zoe is. And yeah. Thankfully, she's a little thrifty and she picks up the prices and stuff. Like, she wanted, they had, like, Masters Universe Mad Libs books that she's like, they have these at Five Below and they wanted $20 for them. You know, it's really like that kind of craziness.
That is nuts.
But I'll send you a picture of it. They had a display set up that I think might have come from a local comic book shop in Batavia. Or they had, used to have a setup, this crazy, like, window display of Hoth. They had, like, a bunch of snowtroopers, the AT-AT, Snowspeeder Luke, but all, like, the original 80s 3¾. And it was set up in this nice glass display case, and it was like, wow. Like, you always wanted to do it as a kid, mm-hmm. but you didn't have 15 of each guy.
Yeah.
But they do.
See, now... When we moved to the house that my parents currently live in, over on Third Avenue, I was 11 when we moved. And, I want to say it was a couple years later when Hasbro released all the Power of the Force 2, all those figures. 'Cause what was that? Like 93, 94 that they started releasing those. So, it was, you know, I was a teenager at that point, and there was kind of like, you know, the stigma of playing with toys, but I was all in on Star Wars. Like, I fucking love Star Wars. And, you know, and I played it off as, oh, I'm collecting them. You know, I'm not playing with them, even though there were a lot that I kept in package because I thought that's what you had to do as a collector because I was stupid and young. But, you know, so I was doing that. But my neighbors, I had no fucking clue, were like hardcore Star Wars fans. Until their dog had puppies and they invited us over to see the puppies. And we're over there, like, you know, playing with these pit bull puppies. And then I see out of the corner of my eye, like in the den, just this gigantic setup of action figures. And I'm trying to look, like, I'm trying to see around the door, like, what is that? Until finally the guy who lived there, our neighbor, I wish I could remember his freaking name. He moved out like a couple years later, but, he was like, oh, yeah, me and my son collect Star Wars. Do you want to see? And I'm like, yeah. He brought me into the den, and there was this huge setup that wrapped around half of the room. Like, it was like an L shape in the corner of the room. He had all these tables set up, and it was the Battle for Hoth. And they had taken, it was like paper mache and shit, and like built like snowy mountains. They had all this like cotton and shit to, you know, emulate snow, you know, piled up. But they had several AT-ATs. of the re-release AT-ATs. They had a snow speeder flying around, like, hung by fishing line. They had all of these Star Wars figures across the frickin' battlefield with little, like, colored pieces of thread as, like, laser blasts glued to the tips of the gun and then, like, glued to the vehicles with, like, a little explosion on it. So they set up, like, they went full diorama on it. All I wanted to do was play with this. Like, I just wanted to dive in and start playing. And I had to, like, contain myself and be like, oh, that's cool. That's really neat what you did there. Like, I want to play with it. I was so mad.
I had a friend that did the same thing. He's passed away. Rest his soul. His name is Rich. And he built the cantina in his basement. And he was one of those, like, quiet, nerdy kids that was also very handy. So he had, like, plaster, paper mache, and he had all of Mos Eisley's on, like,
so fucking cool,
4 or 5 plywood tables that he built, and it was super, super cool in the early days of Power of the Force, where there wasn't a ton of characters.
Mm-hmm.
So he just had, like, a bunch of stormtroopers, a bunch of Tusken people, and right. Like, you know, Hammerhead. There was maybe like 5 or 6 canteen aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, really fucking cool, the people that did that back in the day. And it's one of those things, like, I wish I had the space and the time, you know.
I think the coolest display for anything that I've ever seen, and something that I'm kind of mimicking currently with my own collection, is do you follow Empire Toy Works?
I don't.
Empire Toy Works is a guy who, he builds wooden playsets. And he turned a room of his house into the spaceport. And it started off as just a playset for him and his kids to play with. And it slowly built out into, like, his entire room, where he's built this weird, like, I don't know how to call, like, how you describe it, but, like, picture the sci-fi elements of the movie Heavy Metal, like, that okay. aesthetic. And imagine just an action figure world of that, where there's, like, advertisements for, like, you know, weird, like, all sorts of advertisements everywhere. There's neon lights everywhere, like, all these different spaceships. Everything looks lived in. He's built this gigantic spaceport and complex all around it. And he has figures of all types mixed in there. And is by far the coolest action figure collection I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's so damn cool. But I love how he's not collecting a line per se. He's collecting things that fit that aesthetic that he can add to that spaceport. And I love how that looks. Like, I love how it's just like, here's, like, he had one photo shoot he did where he had the fucking retro Golden Girls figures, like the little 3 3/4 inch Golden Girls, like, yeah, walking around the spaceport, and, like, there was this, like, hover bus that was broken down and you had a guy fixing it. So, like, they like, stopped at the spaceport on their way somewhere. So you had the Golden Girls, like, mingling amongst aliens and stormtroopers. It was fantastic.
You know what he has? I'm looking at right now. This is all really awesome. He has a stormtrooper that's been graffitied.
Yes.
That's just so fucking cool.
Yep.
It's so simple, but it's awesome.
He has so much of it. Like, he took the
breakdancing Cylons. Oh, that's so cool.
Well, the big Millennium Falcon from 2008. He turned that into a weird transport ship for his own Avatar character. He took an Acid Rain figure and, like, I think it was a custom sculpted head and, like, a couple bits and bobs. And he made, like, his own Avatar. So it's a character that looks like him. And he's, like, a space trucker, basically. And that's his ship. The yellow, the one that he's completely repainted the Millennium Falcon to be yellow, and it's got, like, a cargo hold on it. He's just got so many cool different designs. And then he builds all these weird structures for, like, a Tatooine style setup where it's like a desert planet and here's the buildings that would fit into that design. He does so many cool things, but I've been following him for a couple of years. I've watched the spaceport grow from this single, like, playset built out of a coffee table into this gigantic room full of stuff, and I fucking love it,
man. If only.
Yeah, well, and that's why I say, like, my collection is starting to mimic this, is because I've been telling Josh for a while, the main reason I was buying the reaction figures, and, like, particularly the ones I was buying, were ones that I could fit into like this weird alien world. So I've kind of been crafting this story very similar to like what I would think looking at that setup. And I'm thinking, okay, this could work. Like, this allows me to do customization, which is one of the things I love to do with toys, and something I've gotten away from over the years, unfortunately, is I used to customize constantly. Even as a kid, I customized my toys. That was part of the play for me. And I used to love to build dioramas. So I'm like, all right, if I can clear out some of my collection, which is something I've been working on slowly but surely, and I can create a spot in the corner of my computer room where I could take like an old bookshelf and maybe a table and start painting and adding stuff to it and make like a weird little sci-fi setup that I can put all of these toys in. Like, that would be a perfect setup for me.
Dude. Yeah. Do it.
Oh, I'm planning. In fact, one of the things brought to you by Jerry's Closet, I forgot to mention that I bought. I'm a little bummed out because it doesn't fit like I thought it would, but I'm going to customize this. Is I bought the Mission Fleet Razor Crest because it was on sale for like $16 on Amazon. And I have this crew of, for lack of a better term, little people, 3¾-inch figures. So I got like my Time Bandits, my Jawa, Queel and frickin' Willow from Reaction. So I have all those, and they kind of almost look like a crew together. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just use the Razor Crest for them. It's just a little too small, even for those guys. But after looking at it, I'm like, okay, I see how it fits together. I see where the screws are. If I can take that out and Dremel out the cockpit a little bit to fit bigger figures, and where the wings connect, there's a whole part that you can take off. And I was looking at one of the Jurassic Park cages that I got that would fit perfectly in that space. All I'd have to do is Dremel out the bottom and reattach the wings to the top of it. I could turn this into a weird hodgepodge 3¾-inch ship with just very limited work and some paint. So I am going to keep it. Originally, I was like, I'll get rid of it. It doesn't fit what I want. And now I'm like, I think I'm going to customize that.
Yeah. Do it. Do it for all those guys out there like me who don't have the time or the ambition.
Now it's just a matter of finding the time to do it.
Yeah. You know, that's always the story of our lives, right?
Exactly.
All right. Dude, that's just fucking awesome. But yeah, that's what's at. The only thing is you're going to go and you're going to be like, this is they needed a Hulk figure and they picked this crappy Fisher Price Hulk. Where's right. Mego Hulk? You know, it's like kind of some stuff you can tell they just went to Kmart and bought whatever's on the shelf when it's like you guys could do better.
Right.
But there's other great stuff that, like, I think if I don't have anybody to give my toys to when I pass away, it's going to the Museum of Play. I think, you know, Indiana Jones style, they belong in a museum.
Right.
That's
yeah. And I'm hoping, well, cause I know there's a lot of stuff that Caleb does not want that I have. Like, there's certain toys that I know he would be interested in, like any of my Ninja Turtle stuff. I think he would grab, cause even though he never really played too much with the toys, he's always liked the Ninja Turtles. And when he was little, he would play with the Ninja Turtles with me. So like, there's that memory attached to it, but I don't think he would give two shits about, like, you know, oh, here's this Baron Harkonnen figure. Who the fuck is that fat guy? You know, stuff like that. But I've already told both Jess and Caleb, like, look, whenever I pass, because I'm sure they'll outlive me, just with how stressful life gets on me, I feel like, you know, they could take whatever they want. And then I'm like, just talk to my friends. Be like, here, let them pick through the remains of my collection, because I know too many people that love collecting, and just I'd rather it go to homes that people enjoy it.
I have He-Man Rick has given his fiance very specific instructions. If anything happens to him, contact me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm flattered, but he also has an insane hoard of He-Man stuff. But he's also one of those guys that never threw anything away his entire life. So he's got like his entire childhood worth of action figures.
Jeez.
And it's like I have to sit through and go through boxes to find the parts for like the flag and all this. And it's like to help his fiance sell on eBay. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Like, I'll help. you know, from one collector to another. But at the same time, I hope she's like, why don't you take some stuff for yourself? Because then I'll be like, oh, okay. I mean, I'll just borrow Eternia.
Right.
And I'll take that and that and that. But, you know, it's a daunting task.
I'm going to tell Jess to give have gift bags at my funeral filled with old toys.
Have ever made... Stop me if I've made this joke. I always do it to Teresa and it pisses her off. I want bulk candy in the casket.
Dude, that's so fucking awesome.
I want to be a ghost hanging around to see if anybody's like, oh, I'm going to miss Mike. Ooh, gummy worm. You think people...
I think if they're wrapped... Like, if it's candies that come in their own individual wrapper, like the root beer barrels or the fireballs.
a bunch of fucking old man candy.
I was trying to picture, like, the bulk candy that had wrappers, and those are the first two that came to mind. But yeah, like, I feel like if there are candies that are wrapped, knowing, like, our group of friends, I can say 100%. There will be several of us that would be like, ooh, piece of candy. Yeah. Guaranteed.
I could just picture Teresa be like, what are you eating? And I'd be like, there was lemon heads. He'd want me to.
Mike was holding a box of gummy worms, damn it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could eat, like, Sour Patch Kids that were touching a dead body.
Right.
I guess if it was, like, the Viking funeral, like, you're supposed to do that in some weird fucking... tradition, well, I guess, but
what if the body was just holding a bowl that had candy in it, like a trick-or-treat dummy that you put on your porch, you know, holding a bowl of candy. So it's like, you know, instead of arms kind of crossed over each other, they're positioned out like a little holder, and then you put the bowl between their hands and they just fill it with whatever bulk candy for each viewing. So it's like, oh, viewing one, we're gonna have we're gonna have gummy candy, and viewing two, it'll be like all hard candy, and viewing three, all chocolate candy.
I gotta do the cliche for the medical inspector to have like a bowl of chips and salsa on my body.
Yes.
I mean, in retrospect, none of them are good. I'll never share them, but I've written scripts for movies, and I always go back to the cliche of the medical examiner or the crime scene investigator eating around the dead body.
Oh, of course.
I think it's the funniest fucking thing in the world, but I always took it to an extreme of like they're eating nachos on a corpse. You know what I mean? Like they put the ranch cup in the eye socket and they dunk the fries in it. Something it's like normal people wouldn't do, but like they lost the ability to know better years ago.
I'm just picturing a corpse, like, face down, ass up, with, like, an Arby's drink cup sitting between its butt cheeks. Yeah,
like, just... Or, you know, like, the guys are looking at the scene like, oh, man, it looks like it was a real gunfight while food slopping out of, like, the bottom of his hamburger, like, ketchup and barbecue sauce, and he's just like, oops.
Or he drops it, like, on an open wound, like, 5-second rule!
Checks to see if anybody's looking, and he's like, I'm hungry. Wait, was that a grape? Yeah.
It's like, wait a second, that wasn't my food. You know, this reminds me of the joke where it's like, before I die, I'm going to eat an entire bag of unpopped popcorn kernels, and then the guy who cremates me is in for an awful surprise. I laughed so fucking hard when I saw that. I was like, God, that would be like the best final prank. To just swallow a bunch of popcorn kernels and be like, you got to cremate me quick.
What if you're like in the electric chair? And that's after your final meal. Just like, I want a jar of popcorn kernels.
I'd just hold them in my mouth because, you know, they would definitely get the shock there. And he just, guy'd be convulsing and popcorn would be shooting out of his mouth. It'd be fantastic.
Put him up your nose. Like, just
have the executioner take off his mask and go, ta-da! You know?
Magic.
Jazz hands.
I told Teresa, I tried to get it in our will, and the lawyer wouldn't do it. Our attorney was doing like our, you know, like if I die, Zoe gets all the money, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want my ashes, because you can like cremate it yourself into a crystal. Mm-hmm. I said, like, I want it, but I want it. I want to be baked into a ventriloquist dummy. And I want, you know, mandatory, like, you want to inherit my fortune? I'm not going to have a fortune. You've got to keep this ventriloquist on you. And or it just floats around the country as the haunted doll. Because yep. I know I'm going to fucking hang around and do creepy shit, like stick my fingers in your nose while you're sleeping and stuff as Buddy the ventriloquist dummy. But the lawyer was like, no, we're not going to do that. And I was like, oh, come on. He's like, no, just tell me who gets the house. And that's all I care about. I was like, you suck, man.
He was probably like, I feel like there's more to that story. Like, I feel like the lawyer was like, not after last time. Never again. Like,
right after like old something Mrs. Jenkins.
Oh, God.
So the two what's worse that I didn't do, they're not even fun to talk about. People are super wrong about nerd facts. Mm-hmm. Because I was shopping on Friday. I went to FYE and there was two cashiers that were like so off with what they were fucking talking about that I wanted to speak up and I stopped myself and walked away.
Oh, yeah, I've been in that situation.
This girl, it was like she was saying, just making shit up to sound like she knew what she was talking about. And she did not have any fucking clue what she was talking about, but nobody knew any better to fact check her. And she was saying, like, you know, Brad Dourif, the guy who voices Leatherface.
What?
And I was just like, what the fuck up? You're so fucking wrong. You know, like, I just, I was just like, oh, I'll just buy this and I'm leaving. You know, like, she did not have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
And then furries.
Oh, God.
People who are wrong about nerd facts, totally, people hate them more. Because Reddit is full of creepy people who put on fur costumes and fuck.
You know, and I've said this before about the furries, like, because I see them all the time at conventions. Hey, if it's between two consenting adults and you're not making it everyone else's problem, you do what you want to do. But when you come up to my table and want to describe in excruciating detail about how you want me to draw you having sex with, you know, your spirit animal, like, that's fucking weird, man. Like, don't make your kink my problem. that's the main thing.
I'll tell you what, I'll go a step farther. Let's just assume that I'm a talented artist like you and Matt LeMay and Tara and all your other artist friends. Mm. You want to do that to me? That's great. It's five times more expensive.
I won't lie. I did consider it. But then it was like just the thought of drawing it, honestly. I'm sitting there going like, how am I going to... like I'm gonna feel icky this whole time. I don't want to do this.
My rate is $200 a piece. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want me to draw a wolf fucking a walrus, it's $1,000. And if you don't want to pay that, walk away. That's it. I'll do anything for $1,000. But I won't do that.
Yeah, no, I'm like Meatloaf. I won't do that.
Oh, no. You know what? COVID's real, and it took Meatloaf from us. God damn it. Oh, you know what? I forgot. Brought to you by Jerry's Closet. Congratulations to Godzilla for winning a goddamn Oscar.
Right?
For best visual effects. Never in my life did I thought Godzilla would win an Oscar. Here we are.
Yeah, no, that was pretty fucking rad.
That's amazing. Like, I don't think Martin Scorsese's gotten best director yet, but Godzilla got best visual effects. Thumbs up.
I still need to see Godzilla Minus One.
Dude. Get ready to cry.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's fucking amazing.
Maybe the best Godzilla movie ever made. It depends on what you're in the mood for. If you want a serious drama, best Godzilla movie. If you want guys in rubber suits beating stuff up, maybe not.
Right.
But it's really damn good. The other one was, what's worse, a horror movie without gore or a horror movie without boobs? A bad horror movie. Yeah.
I mean, because I can think of good horror movies that don't have a lot of gore or boobs. But if we're
this
talking
is like
bad,
TV roulette, bad.
I think that without gore is the worst offense because, yeah. You know, in 2024, we have the internet for boobs. like if you really need to see boobs.
If you're giving me nothing.
Yeah.
I need gore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could still be a bad movie with boobs and I'm going to hate it. But if it had a cool scene where like a baby falls in a lawnmower,
yeah,
like that'd be cool.
That was a knee-jerk laugh too. That did not.
That's horrible. I don't want to see that. But I was just like,
baby falls in a lawnmower. Yep.
You know, the end of Baby's Day Out, where he falls into the lawnmower. Mike, do you have a Hall of Fame pick? We announced the winner last time, but let me refresh all of our fans on the interwebs as I click through page after page after page on Facebook. The winner of the last Hall of Fame was the Cobra Hiss 2, which means you won, obviously.
Woo-hoo. Well, I'm going to go with a weird one. I don't think he's ever won. I feel like he got nominated at one point, but I don't think he ever won. But the vintage Kenner squid head from Return of the Jedi. Mainly for one reason. Not only did I loved that figure as a kid, but I love the fact that he was the basis for the unreleased Mungo Beefhead figures, where they literally just turned his head on its back and his neck stump was staring out as a face.
I went down a Mungo Beefhead rabbit hole a little while ago, and I'm mad that we've never gotten Mungo Beefhead officially.
I know, right? Like, it's really
fucking awesome.
It's really cool looking.
They've made Life Day Chewbacca, and they haven't made Mungo Beefhead.
And they actually did take, was it Athas Prime? I think was supposed to be the big bad of that proposed line. They did release that design as the Imperial Sentinel in the Expanded Universe figures in the 90s. So, like, that figure got a release. How come we haven't gotten a Mungo Beefhead?
No. You know? Like, I wouldn't throw it past, like, nah, actually, I can't imagine that would pop up on, like, The Mandalorian. But that would be cool. It's like a background character. And that's, like, then they've got, like, an excuse, like, we got to make Mungo Beefhead. But I could also imagine they do that, and it would just sit on the shelves, and nobody would buy it, like Yarnor Del Gargan.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a Mungo Beefhead is going to be one of those figures that you would have to have another reason to get him. So, like, put him in a multi-pack or have it be, like, you know, a pack-in with a vehicle of some kind. Well, no, maybe don't do that because the vehicles now are, like, $200. But, like, you know, do, like, one of those.
Comic-Con set.
Yeah, or like one of those figure packs where it's, like, two to three, like, one figure everyone knows and then, like, two random characters.
Disneyland exclusive?
Maybe.
Make Josh get it for us?
I do love my weird little Frankenstein colored robot that he got me from Disney.
That's pretty cool. All right, I will see your squid head.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go Star Wars character 2, I guess. I'm gonna nominate Pruneface.
Oh, another one that I feel like was nominated but did not win.
Maybe?
I feel like early on, because the one I was going to nominate, I know I picked before, and I can't remember if he won, was a Manaman. I know very early on, like, I want to say, like, first 20 episodes, I picked a Manaman, because he was one of my favorite Star Wars figures, because I used him as, like, a monster for everything.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he won. I have a vintage Power of the Force of Manaman. He's a great figure.
He really is. I never got the re-release, not the re-release, the remake that they did for the modern era.
Yeah, it was like a deluxe, quote unquote, because he came with some extra shit. Well, I'll ask Josh to have him throw in one, too. You ever think the Nyendum's head looks like a vagina, kind of?
I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
As a kid, he was one of my go-to, like, I made up, because he had no background.
Uh-huh.
He had all kinds of adventures.
Oh yeah,
I loved him. I always thought he was just like a cool utility action guy.
He was always like my mechanic slash co-pilot for a lot of adventures.
He was always like the Danny Glover.
Yeah.
My adventures.
And I always thought, because his laser gun, his little ray gun, to me, I always thought it looked like some kind of weird tool, like a power drill. So I always had him, you know, like fixing ships.
Yeah, he's cool. I don't care what anybody says. He's fucking awesome. Like,
there's a lot of great old school Kenner
alien
characters.
And Pruneface? Mm-hmm. Got to do cool stuff, and he always died. He was always like, tell my wife I love her. Like halfway through, he always got like killed by an Imperial Guard or something.
You know who was my character like that? Was Weequay.
Oh, yeah.
Weequay was always the guy that, like, you know, he would stay behind so the others could escape. You know,
yeah.
Like, he would fend off the bad guys with that giant laser spear thing he had.
The door closes and he stays behind shooting.
Yep.
Why? You know, now I want a spaceport. Damn it.
I don't, dude, that's what I'm telling you. Fuck. Like, I've been designing. That's why I got the fucking dropship from Lightyear. That's why I've been sticking with only certain mechs and certain Transformers. Because I'm kind of, and like why I got the Sentinel. I'm like, okay, I'm designing this little world that I'm good. Like, this is where my collection is starting to get more and more focused. And honestly, it's working because I haven't bought a lot of NECA. You know, I haven't really bought any McFarlane. I haven't bought a lot of the Masters stuff. Like I'm still getting Masters Origins when I find them and their characters that I want. But really, since they've gone online now, I haven't really bought many. But yeah, I'm focusing my collection down to that, which is going to help me get rid of a lot of stuff because there's so many figures that I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I got it because, oh, I'm buying G.I. Joe or, oh, I'm buying He-Man, you know, and they're cool, but they're not anything I need in my collection. So yeah. I'm definitely going to be paring down and trying to like build this little diorama set.
Cool. Well, I guess I'll just have to get you a shitload of reaction stuff for Christmas.
Well, hey, reaction will never be. I will never frown at reaction.
Reaction and marijuana.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, the pharmacy I received. that is one thing I have to say. God bless my friends, because, you know, much like Kevin Smith, I did not start partaking in the devil's lettuce until I was in my 40s. And once my friends kind of found out that I was into that now, they're like, all right, game on.
Yep. So, you got some cool shit.
I got hooked up.
Good for you, dude. All right, guys. This is a Joshless two-man Count Creepyhead. It's the first time we've done it. Going forward, if Josh can't make it and we know in advance, we'll obviously have a guest, but we kind of found out a little late. So when Josh actually does get his house and he's got to move, we're going to have a rotation of guest stars.
Absolutely.
It should be pretty cool. So this is Mike, as always, saying play with your toys.
This is Mike saying Joshless Mike.
Yeah, Mike, Josh, Mike, less, Josh, less.
And I mean, I can't really do any voices, but, you know, I can do the Stallone, like, hey, listen to the Count Creepyhead.
Yeah. My daughter's,
it's pretty good.
Were you there when, all right, I'm getting sidetracked and dumb shit. Yes, voices. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. Same creepy time, same creepy channel. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Count Creepy. .com on the World Wide Web. Must I say it again? Did you not listen? Count Creepy. C-O-U-N-T-K-R-E-E-P-Y. Ah.